You see, he says, make that choice. But as for me and my house, he made a choice. We will serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I'm going to choose to be on God's side. Here's a hint. I read already the end of this Bible, and you know what it says? God wins. So I think it would be wise to choose God's side, don't you?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Here's a question Pastor Wayne is going to ask you today. Are you in the game, or are you just sitting in the grandstand? It's a choice you need to make. Well, maybe you feel like you're not even in the stadium yet. You're still circling around out there somewhere in the parking lot. Today's message is for you. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Choose Your Role in the Kingdom.
Would you take out your notes with me? As we talk about what role do you want to play in the kingdom of God? How many of you are learning lots of stuff? Yeah, boy, I tell you, and there's so much more. And a lot of times we miss the things that we should learn because a lot of the most important things are the most simple. I was just reading something that children were learning, and they have the top five things these kids were learning. And I thought, that's real simple, but listen to this. These are great. Number one, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. That's something you need to learn. Here's another one. Philip, age 13. Never dare your little brother to paint the family car. Here's another thing that you need to learn. This one, learn this one. Stephanie, age 8. Sleep in your clothes so that you'll be dressed in the morning. I like this one. Michael, age 14. Never tell your mom that her diet's not working. And I think this is the warmest one of all. It's just precious. Joanne, age 11. Remember that there'll always be two places that you're always welcome. Church and at grandma's house. Isn't that neat? Such wonderful lessons. Well, all of us are learning. And at the Doing Church as a Team conference, we had people from all over the world. And there was a couple from pastor friend's children came. And they said that they came, and where they were from, it was 3 degrees below zero when they left. And when they told me that, I was so glad God called me to pastor this church. Oh, man. But you know what? My calling to be a part of this church is not a greater calling than your calling to be a part of this church. For God has called you just like he called me. And one calling isn't lesser. One calling isn't greater. We have all been called with the same calling and by the same Lord, which means every single one of us has a very important part to play in God's kingdom. The Bible says that we're a part of God's kingdom right here, but it's not something just to be spectated and watched at a distance. It was Matt Williams, who was the third baseman of the San Francisco Giants. He once said this. He said, I love baseball, but frankly, if I didn't play it, I wouldn't watch it. It's too boring. And that's true, he said, because you see, baseball is a game that was meant and designed to be played, not watched. And I thought that is so true even about the church. The church was designed, the kingdom of God was designed not to be watched. Because when people say, oh, church is too boring, I know that they're not involved, that they're watching it. And the kingdom of God is not something designed to be watched. It's something designed to be involved in. But it'll be your choice how much you want to be involved in what God is doing. You can be involved little, medium, a negative part, a positive part, a big part. It's up to you. God's kingdom is moving forward. And then he asks you, invites you to be a part of it. Now, your choice is, what part do you want to play in this kingdom? That's your choice. Every one of us has been given a choice of what role would we play. You see, the kind of choice you make, though, will say a lot about you. It'll say much about who you are, as was the case when this woman was married to a horrible husband. And they were arguing one day, walking along the Alawai, arguing, grumbling. And she sees this bottle floating on the Alawai, among other bottles, and she picks this one up, and poof, this genie comes out. And the genie starts talking to her. She says, the genie's a guy, I think. And he said, I will give you 3 wishes. And whatever you wish for, however, remember this, whatever you wish for, your husband will get 2 times as much. So the wife said, well, that's fine. You know, we need some money. And so I wish for $1 million. Remember now, your husband's going to get twice as much. It's okay. I wish for $1 million. All of a sudden, boom, she gets $1 million. Boom, boom. He gets $2 million. And he just laughed. Yeah, good for you, he said to his wife. And the genie said, hey, you should be thankful. She got $1 million and you got 2. Yeah, but that's all right. Serves her right. Serves her right. I get $2 million. And the genie shakes his head and says, well, you have 2 more choices. Well, the wife said, well, we need a better car, so I'll wish for a Rolls Royce. Woo! Rolls Royce comes out, boom, boom, 2. He laughed. The genie says, you should be thankful for that. He says, for what? I got $2 million, 2 Rolls Royces. Now I'm going to divorce her and go get a younger wife. The genie looks at this lady and says, you do have a terrible husband. I can't believe it. Even when he gets twice as much as you do, he's still not grateful. She says, it's okay, it's okay. I have another wish, don't I? Right, said the genie. I want you to scare me half to death. Be careful what you choose. How you choose has a lot to say about you. But God invites all of us into the kingdom of God. The Bible says, whosoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the door. So it is through him that we enter into God's embrace, God's plan, God's will, God's purposes for our life. We come in through one person. His name is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. John 10, I am the door. You cannot come up by another way. So, but entering through the Lord gets you into the kingdom. It's like getting into a baseball stadium. If you've never made that decision, I want to give you a chance to do that at the end of this service. But receive the Lord. Enter into what God has for you, because apart from him, his plans, though wonderful, you'll never enter it unless you come through the person of Christ. However, coming into the kingdom is like coming into a big baseball arena. You get into the grandstand, but now you have a choice to make. Will you go to the spectator seats or will you go to the playing field? It's up to you. You must make that choice of what role that you will play. And one of the greatest leaders in the Bible tells us exactly that. And he leads by example. His name, Joshua. And here's what he says. Let's read at the top of our notes. Ready? Go. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the God which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you underline those words? But as for me and my house, he made a choice. We will serve the Lord. You see, he says, make that choice. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I'm going to choose to be on God's side. Here's a hint. I read already the end of this Bible, and you know what it says? God wins. So I think it would be wise to choose God's side, don't you? That's a little hint. Just thought you might like that. But here's one of the things that the Bible will repeat and say to us again and again and again, and that is this. God's plans will come to pass. Would you write that in your notes? God's plan will come to pass. What God sets in motion is going to happen. Whether I choose to be involved in it or not, whether my foibles are a part of it, or I play a negative part, positive part, God's plan is going to come to pass. It doesn't matter what we think about it. In the end, God wins. It's sort of like the true north principle. It doesn't matter where you think true north is, there is a true north. And you can point all kinds of directions, but I tell you what, it doesn't matter where you think it is, there's a true north. And I'm going to give you an example of that. In a moment, I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I want you to point where you think true north is, all right? And when you open your eyes, do not change the direction of your hand. Close your eyes. Ready? Go. Point. Okay. All right, open your eyes. Okay, some of you are pointing straight up, not heaven, north, heaven. Okay, all right. Some of you, okay, we're in trouble. You're pointing over here, you're pointing this way, you're pointing that way, you're there. I ain't gonna get lost with you guys. Man, you're in trouble. There it is, right over there. That's true north. Isn't that amazing? You see, sometimes what we think might be true is not necessarily true, but it really doesn't matter because what is true is true. And in the end, God's plan will come to pass. Honey, where were you pointing? Oh, help me, God. Help me. You're pointing at me, huh? Yeah. That's why I married her. I fool her. You see, it doesn't matter though where we think. People, whether they say it's this way, that way, what there is a true north. And that's how God's plan is. Let's read Romans 3, 4 out of the Living Bible. Ready? Go. Though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is not. God's words will always prove true and right, no matter who questions them. The next one, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand. You see, what God says will stand forever. And now your choice is, will you be a part of that or not? If you choose to be a part of that, you have made a wise choice. If you choose not to, that's your choice. But when we violate God's principles, what happens is we start to lose direction. You see, the world can deny God's morality. They can call God obsolete, but in the end, guess who we're going to stand before? Yeah, we're not going to stand before Hugh Hefner. We're not going to stand before Ozzy Osbourne and his family. We're not even going to stand before the Hawaii Supreme Court and what they rule. You will stand before the judge of the universe. Therefore, it is important for us to know what his morals are, lest we lose direction, as was the case of this one man who was losing direction. So he wrote, Dear Abby, listen to this. Dear Abby, I have a problem. I hope you can solve it for me. This came right out of a newspaper. It said this, I'm a married man, but we are separated right now. I am now living with another woman, but that's not my problem. I'm in love with still a third woman. I am confused and do not know what to do at this point. So please answer me and give me some advice. But when you do, please don't give me any of that old-fashioned morality stuff. So Abby writes back, Dear Confused, the only difference between humans and animals is morality. Please write to a veterinarian. Isn't that great? You see, we lose direction. And you must remember this, which you write in number 2, God designed us. God designed us. However, many of us have rejected that design. But God designed us, and Jesus paved the way through the cross so that we can follow God's design. You see, the Lord designed you already before the beginning of time in his divine design room. That's where he designed you. Just like Jeremiah in the first chapter, he said, Jeremiah, when you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew your name. And I had called you to be a prophet to the nations. Huh? Yeah. You see, because I designed your life in my divine design room. I used to drive a 65 Mustang. And what I found out was that Lee Iacocca, when he went with Ford, actually was the brain behind the Mustang, which really catapulted Ford into the forefront of the car market. And what they did, though, is they didn't just pop out a Ford Mustang. It was actually thought up and designed in their design room. Someone completely finished the car, completely designed it, and then it was created. You see, they didn't create it and then hope the design would turn out. They didn't just take an axle and put it on a wheel and put something here and tried to paint it and said, man, I hope this is going to come out good. No, they finished it and then they created it. And that's exactly how God works with your life and with mine. He has a plan for your life and he designed it in his divine design room. And then he put it into a promise and put that promise into a seed and you were born. He has a promise for you In fact, Jeremiah 29:11 says he has a future and a hope already designed, but you choose if you really want to be a part of that. Now, we can disqualify ourselves from it, but God has a plan. Let's read what Ephesians 2:10 says. Ready? Go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Would you underline which God prepared beforehand? He says, you're my workmanship. I created you and I prepared beforehand that you would have a life of good works and that you would walk in them. You see, the Lord really wants the best for you and the best for me. Let's read the next one out of Luke 12 and you'll see what I mean. Jesus is speaking and he says this, go. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? It's like the Lord is saying, I want the best for you. I designed that, put it into a promise, and I crushed it into a seed, and then you were conceived and you were born. But that design is still inside of you. That's why he could say to Jeremiah, when you were in your mother's womb, I already knew the plans that I had for you. But now you choose if you'll want to be a part of that plan. God makes no mistakes. How many of you believe that God makes no mistakes? Raise your hand. Yeah. God has a plan for us. He's created us for a purpose. And the fact that you're born tells you that God has a purpose. He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't have someone created and creates junk or forgets what it's for. He has a purpose. He has an intention for every single one of us. And the fact that you were created tells me and tells you that he has a future and a hope designed for you. Now, we can choose to reject that. And many have. And that's why Jesus came to pay the price. So that any time along the way that you would come back to the Lord in repentance, God says, I'll take you right where you are right now. But Lord, you don't know what's in my past. I do, but I'm taking you right where you are. Really? Uh-huh. You see, my son paved the way for your return. Come, let's start afresh. And God gives us a new beginning, and we call that salvation. You see, the fact that you are born tells me that God wrote your name in a book. Yep. I thought when you receive the Lord, he writes your name. You know what? This is just my thoughts, though. I think he wrote my name in his book when I was conceived, because he has a plan for me. He had a plan for me when I was yet in my mother's womb. Now, I can choose to disqualify myself from that plan by not choosing to be a part of his kingdom. It's sort of like if you get a full ride scholarship to Harvard and you get all 4 years paid for. Now, your name is written on the checkbook. It's on the contract. Everything, the checks are ready to mail out at certain quarters going to that college. Everything's set. Only one condition. You must retain a B average for the scholarship to be in force. Well, now, if you stay studious, you have all of the provision given to you. However, I can choose to reject that standard, reject the laws of that scholarship, and by doing so, I disqualify myself from all that was planned for me, all that was given for me, all that was paid for me. I can disqualify myself from. But was my name on that contract? Yep. Yep. Everything is ready. And you see, I believe that God did exactly that. You say, well, why do people go to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Really? Mm-hmm. Yep, let's read the scripture right at the bottom. I'll tell you who God made hell for. He didn't make hell for people. Let's read it. Go. Then I will turn to those on my left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his... Yeah. Who did God prepare hell for? People? For the devil. What did God prepare for people? Heaven. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you. God loves us so much. He prepared a place. Now, I can choose to reject that and squander it and disqualify myself from it. In the book of Revelation, God says you're going to have all kinds of temptations that would come against you. And you'll see my plan and my ways, and you can enter in. Now, you can choose to say no to it. But if you do, and if you don't overcome selfishness or pride, then this is what will happen in the end. It's coming up on the screen. It's not in your notes, but let's read this together. Ready? Go. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So you see, God loves you so much. It's almost as if the Lord put your name in his book. And it's only after I choose to reject his ways that his tears erases my name. God wants the best for you. What role will you play in the kingdom? Will you say yes to him? Will you choose? Would you write down in your notes on the other side, we choose what part we will play in his plan. You can reject his plan, or you can enter into it and choose to play a small part. For those of you that have said yes to Christ, you are in the stadium, as it were. Now you can choose. Will I play a small part? Will I play a mediocre part? Will I play a negative part? You see, we have two choices once we enter in. Would you write the first bullet? We can choose poorly. We can choose poorly. Now, what do you mean? Well, you see, it's up to us. You can make poor choices. In the mid-1800s, a man named Henry Comstock on the eastern slopes of Mount Davidson made a pretty poor choice. He had a mine that he felt was exhausted, and he was tired of digging. He thought this was the most barren mine of all. So he sold his mine shaft for $700 to a company for the right to mine it. He thought it's better to get $700 than nothing. Well, that mining company in 1859, just a few years later, mined it and struck a mother lode of silver. And in just a few years, they had mined over $300 million of silver. Poor choice, Henry. And it was such a poor choice that he felt so depressed at 50 years old, he took his own life. People make poor choices. And we can make poor choices with the kingdom of God. As we enter in, we can go to the grandstands. We can just spectate. And God is saying, no, come closer. We can make poor choices. In the Bible, some people made poor choices. Samson made poor choices. Saul did in the Old Testament. But someone in the New Testament made one of the poorest choices. His name was Judas Iscariot. He chose to betray. And let's read what Luke 17:1 says. Ready? Go. And he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him through whom they... Yeah, you know what God says? In the kingdom of God, you're going to have persecutions. You're going to have stumbling blocks. Which one are you going to choose? You're going to choose to be someone who persecutes others? You're going to choose to be a stumbling block? You choose. Or you can choose to be a part of my kingdom. And when I say follow me, you say yes. You choose. Choose what part you want to play. And that's where the heart comes in. When we hear the Lord speak and we say yes. Let's read how in the next verse he says, the kingdom of God is going to come to pass. God's plan for salvation is going to happen. It's as it is written. But there's some parts we can play. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been. Yeah, you see, God says, I had you born because I have a plan for your life. But if you choose poorly, then you squander the very purpose for which I created you. I designed you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, so that you would have a what? A future and a hope. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear good fruit and that your fruit should remain. You see, God's plan for us is wonderful, but we choose. We choose what part we want to play.
You have just heard a message entitled Choose Your Role in the Kingdom by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.